thanks for the opportunity to allow me to make my contribution in this Honorable House on the debate of expiry estimates 2008-2009. Madam Speaker, I recall last year when I had the opportunity to address this Honorable House, I told this Honorable House that I'll be making 14 contributions with regards to budget debates. And I also reminded them that I'll be making this contribution on that side of the House. So today is my second. I remain 14 more to go. Madam Speaker, there's no guarantee that my contribution will be as Minister of Agriculture, because the Prime Minister has the prerogative to decide in which capacity that he wants me to serve. But as long as I am on this side of the House, I will serve. In fact, Madam Speaker, yesterday, after the Honourable Member from Nikko North made her contribution, a very good contribution, the Member from Sufre recommended to our Prime Minister that she should be the Minister of Fisheries. And I welcome that. But we recall, Madam Speaker, that that member also, on two or three occasions, volunteered to come across. Now, Madam Speaker, we can analyze that offer from two angles. One, he has realized that his term as a member for Sufre is short-lived. Or secondly, he wants to come here because he said on conditions, on condition that he's going to commit suicide. I want to warn him, Madam Speaker, save us the trouble. Save us the trouble, Madam Speaker, because I don't think we are ready for this. Political suicide. All right. Madam Speaker, the inevitable challenges facing the agricultural sector is as a result of globalization and trade liberalization. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, those of us in the region, especially, Madam Speaker, in St. Lucia, that are interested in the sustainable development of this sector, must, and I want to repeat, must, Madam Speaker, analyze the opportunities that globalization and trade liberalization present us. Madam Speaker, we in this ministry, the Ministry of Agriculture, Lands, Forestry and Fisheries, see this situation as one that provides opportunities. Opportunities, Madam Speaker, in developing a sustainable, diversified income base for the various sectors. Madam Speaker, if this is accomplished, I have no doubt, Madam Speaker, I want to repeat, I have no doubt that we will be improving the capacity, the competitiveness, and livelihood of our rural folks. Madam Speaker, last year, when our then Prime Minister, Sir John Compton, presented the 2007-2008 proposed estimates, Madam Speaker, he clearly enunciated the new vision that the newly elected United Workers Party government had to improve the social and economic situation of St. Lucia. He went on to give the programs that he believed would be able to assist us in moving this country from the neglect of the St. Lucia Labour Party. I want to say, Madam Speaker, it's unfortunate he's not here with us physically. That he's here, Madam Speaker, in a person that he has trained and molded in the political environment, and that is our Prime Minister, Honourable Stephen Kim. Honourable King, Madam Speaker, the Prime Minister has agreed to show that responsibility to carry out that vision to inevitable success. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, that the majority of us in this Honourable House and the majority of St. Lucia that I've spoken to, both in St. Lucia and throughout the region, has committed themselves in providing the required support to this noble endeavor. Madam Speaker, one of the facets of this vision is the agricultural sector. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, I want to reiterate that those of us in this Honourable House and my cabinet colleague, most of them and all of them, I must say, appreciate the importance of the agricultural sector in our socio-economic development. And that is why we have developed policies and programs that will redound to the benefit of our farmers. It must be stated, Madam Speaker, that the United Workers Party did not inherit a bed of roses. I recall in my presentation last year, I took time to inform members of the deplorable situation regarding the agricultural sector. What we inherited, what we formed, and the type of imports that we have been confronted with. Madam Speaker, if you allow me to. So, Madam Speaker, quote from the budget address of the then Prime Minister in 2003, Madam Speaker, and this is document of the House, because it's been especially in the House. Page 2, Madam Speaker, paragraph 1, and I quote, Mr. Speaker, at that time it was not Madam, Mr. Speaker, output in the agricultural sector, which contracted by 22.6% in 2001, contracted slightly by 1% in 2002. The agricultural sector contracted. He went on in another budget address, Madam Speaker, and please allow me to, in 2005. And that budget address, paragraph 3, Madam Speaker, he went on to say again, and I'm quoting from a section of paragraph 3, Madam Speaker. However, Mr. Speaker, whilst we made some policy strides within the banana industry, available data indicates a less than positive performance in the production of non-traditional crops in 2004. Yes, Madam Speaker. Let them go on, Madam Speaker. I'm just giving you some examples that I read through, a number of them. In April 2006, Madam Speaker, or April, and that's my book, this not speaker, that's my book, month actually. April. In April, Madam Speaker, 25th of April 2006, the theme for that address, Madam Speaker, was from recovery to expansion. And page 5 of that address, agricultural and fisheries, here's what he said, Madam Speaker. Notwithstanding an increase in livestock, Mr. Speaker, indications are that the agricultural sector struggled in 2005 with a reduction in the output of bananas, non-traditional crop, and fish landing. He went on to say, Madam Speaker, the real output for this sector fell by 22% in 2005, following a marginal growth of 1.8% in the previous year. Madam Speaker, you see what we inherited? You see what we inherited, Madam Speaker? We inherited an agricultural industry based on all presentation made by the then Prime Minister was doing badly. And according to the member there, he was honest. I want the honesty to continue, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, let's look at some of the figures from 2004. For some key vegetables. For some key vegetables that we can grow in St. Lucia. Selected vegetables imported 2004 to 2007. And that is coming, Madam Speaker, from the Secretariat of the Ministry of Agriculture. And if I want, I can make it a document of the House if you so desire. In 2004, Madam Speaker, tomatoes import 242,733 dollars. 2005, it went up. $327,785. In 2006, Madam Speaker, $238,751. But Madam Speaker, in 2007, it went down. It went down. Tomatoes went down, and I'm sure members of this Honorable House, and I agree with my member, from Deport North, the personal cycles, and I'll come to that in a while. But in 2007, Madam Speaker, it went down to 146,660. And you can go on, Madam Speaker, lettuce, a crop that can be grown in St. Lucia very, very easily. In 2004, 375,276 dollars. It went up in 2005. To $477,112. And up again in 2006, Madam Speaker, up again to $541,413. But what happened in 2007, Madam Speaker? It went down. It went down, Madam Speaker, to $430,082. Salary. I can go on and on, Madam Speaker. Salary. 93,000 in 2004, $93,755. Went up to $118,571. In 2006, $116,686. And in 2007, Madam Speaker, it went down to $81,183. I can go on and on and on and on. And the trend is, Madam Speaker, the trend is crops that you can grow in St. Lucia effectively, Madam Speaker, under the St. Lucia Labour Party, the trend is that the importation of these crops is going up and up and up. That's what we inherited, Madam Speaker. That's what we inherited. And Speaker, the situation is a simple livestock. The simple livestock, Madam Speaker. And I'm not going to give you the general figure because time is of the essence. I will not discuss. Total purchases for 2006, Madam Speaker, for local livestock went up under this government. It went up from 8.2 million to 8.9 million. Isn't that a good trend, Madam Speaker? Isn't that a good trend? I'm sure members there would agree, Madam Speaker, it is a good trend. But I heard a lot has been made, Madam Speaker, about the 2007 Economic and Social Review. And Madam Speaker, I remember last year it was said that we can use information to our benefit, and it was said by Dr. Lewis. And I agree with him. And this year, in the debate this year, Madam Speaker, we've seen this in progress. Madam Speaker, please allow me to quote some sections in the Economic Review. And Madam Speaker, I highlighted in red. You know why, Madam Speaker? Members on the other side seems not to be able to see black and white. So in red they will see it, Madam Speaker, so I can pass it around to them when I'm finished. Madam Speaker, page 26 of the Economic and Social Review, 2007. The performance of the agriculture sector during the review period was mixed. Preliminary estimates suggest that the overall sector recorded a real growth of 0.8%. The low overall return was attributed to the in value added of 3.4% in bananas. But Madam Speaker went on to say that this reduction of 3.4% in bananas, and I'll explain why the reduction of 3.4% in bananas. This reduction of 3.4% in bananas was offset by an increase in 7.6%, 2.3%, and 1.8% in other crops, fisheries, and the livestock subsectors respectively. It went on to say, despite the situation, Madam Speaker, the contribution of the agricultural sector to GDP still remains at 3.3%. Now, Madam Speaker, one has to ask, if we did not experience Hurricane Dean, what would have been our contribution? Because Hurricane Dean, according to the report, Madam Speaker, had an adverse impact on the agricultural sector. And I'll spend some time on this, Madam Speaker. So, Madam Speaker, whether I call it in yellow or red, the point is that we need to discuss the facts honestly and, of course, to speak the truth at all times. Madam Speaker, following the passage of Hurricane Dean, we, the Ministry of Agriculture, undertook an impact assessment. It is necessary, Madam Speaker, for us to undertake an impact assessment. Cabinet, Madam Speaker, agreed that ICA should be charged with that responsibility because we want credible assessment of the damage that we sustained. Madam Speaker, ICA, the Ministry of Agriculture, also solicited the support of UN ECOWAS. And even Eklat in his report, and the report named Post-Deal Impact on the Agricultural Sector, tables 5.1, page 24 of the report, and I read, Madam Speaker, direct damage to the agricultural sector, and they itemize the various subsectors that will damage. The banana industry, Madam Speaker, the assessment was 69.72%. Let's think about that a bit. Heritage, Madam Speaker, you have a situation where an industry is damaged by 69.72%, but your production for the year, Madam Speaker, and I'm sure members here would have seen it because they read the Economic Review. The production for the year, Madam Speaker, fell to about 30,000 tons. About 3,000 tons, Madam Speaker. 3,000 tons less than the 2006 record. About 3,000 tons less. And we are coming to this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, and see banana production drop. But what caused it to drop? What caused it to drop, Madam Speaker? And if we did not experience, Madam Speaker, 69% blown down of our banana crop, we would have far, far surpassed the 43,000 tons that was realized in 2006. You know, so, Madam Speaker, but I want to say, Madam Speaker, I want to say that we in this government, we are producing. Madam Speaker, there's a saying, Madam Speaker, I don't know if you have heard it, but there's a saying that failure breeds often. But success has many fathers. Right now, Madam Speaker, the agricultural industry has many fathers. Even the SLP, Madam Speaker, wants to be a father to the agricultural sector. Madam Speaker, Madam Speaker, I've heard what's been said about the United Workers Party is responsible for the demise of the banana industry. Madam Speaker, let's look at some figures. From 1996, Madam Speaker, from 1996, because I heard my good friend from the member for Library quoting some figures there, Madam Speaker, in his presentation this morning. That's where I put it. But Madam Speaker, from 1996 to 2006, Madam Speaker, let's look at some of the figures. When the St. Lucia Labour Party took office, Madam Speaker, in 1997, they formed in 1996 an export of 104,805 tons. Did that not speak? That's what they formed. With 6,500 farmers. 6,500 farmers, that's what they formed. 6,500. 100 panels in the banner industry. In 1997, Madam Speaker, the first year in operation, our exports dropped to 71,000. I'm using wrong figures there, Madam Speaker, 71,000 tons. From 104 to 71. In 1998, Madam Speaker, it dropped to 73,000. In 1999, it dropped again, Madam Speaker, to 65,000. In 2000, it went up to 70,000. And I'm using wrong figures, Madam Speaker. In 2001, Madam Speaker, from 2000, it was 70,000, Madam Speaker. 70,281 tons. And they had 3,800 farmers in the industry. In 2001, Madam Speaker, it went down to 44,368 tons. And the number of farmers went down to 2,500 farmers. It went down again and down and down to 2005 to 50,007 tons, Madam Speaker, with 1,800 farmers. In 2006, Madam Speaker, there was an increase by 3,000 tons, Madam Speaker, and they came into this Honorable House last year saying how they have improved the banner industry. From 104,000 tons, Madam Speaker, in 2006, in 1996, Madam Speaker, to 2006, 33,000 tons. And you're telling me that you have improved the banner industry? And I agree, Madam Speaker, when the member said, I agree when the member from Nairobi said that they have spent a lot of money in the banner industry. I agree. But the question is, Madam Speaker, the benefits. The benefits. Who benefited from the money they spent in the banner industry, Madam Speaker? That is the question. Madam Speaker, I heard my member from the member from Beaufort North in his presentation saying how he made an announcement on the radio asking me to call a meeting of Vibdeco and SLDC to discuss the situation regarding the banner industry. And he also said, Madam Speaker, that he applauded the Prime Minister for taking an initiative.
Madam Speaker, I never said that the minister, I never said that I called on the minister on the radio to call a meeting between Vibdeco and SLDC. In fact, I did not even mention that he should call a meeting between Vibdeco and SLDC. I simply said that I call on him over and over again to get involved. I never indicated that there should be a specific meeting between Vibdeco and SLDC. Thank you.
Madam Speaker, get involved. I agree, Madam Speaker, get involved. And I did get involved, Madam Speaker. But most probably he wasn't aware, Madam Speaker, that I was involved. Madam Speaker, in November last year, before that matter blew out of proportion, I called a meeting of all the stakeholders at Foxgrove Inn to discuss the situation, Madam Speaker, and to see how we can collaborate, because the question of fair trade and fair trade banners and the trading in fair trade banners was inevitable. The management of Winfa from St. Vincent came down to St. Lucia. CFO, PQFC, Vibdeco, NFTO, all these organizations, Madam Speaker, at the highest level, attended that meeting. What did SLVC do? It's a junior staff member. A member I can't take decisions. Madam Speaker, are you hearing about companies complaining? They're not complaining because at that meeting, they were able to resolve the matter and see how they could collaborate and work together. But no, the member from Freeport North will not be aware of this. Conveniently, Madam Speaker. Conveniently. Madam Speaker, when I wrote again the management of SLDC with regards to the court injunction, Madam Speaker, I always said, because the St. Lucia Labour Party always said, Madam Speaker, in fact, in the then Prime Minister budget address, Madam Speaker.
Honourable Member, is this matter sub judice?
No.
It is?
No, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the court has consented an order and that's...
It has been discussed.
Yes, yes, Madam Speaker.
Proceed.
I saw the judgment. Madam Speaker! You go for the speaker. Madam Speaker! I wrote asking for the SLBC to reconsider a certain clause in the injunction which would affect farmers. There were a lot of things were said about the Minister of Agriculture now talking, Madam Speaker. But I must say, Madam Speaker, that all what I was advising and recommending is the result of the peace. And farmers now, Madam Speaker, I'm sure, is breathing a sigh of relief. Madam Speaker, for the sustainable development of the agricultural sector during the year under review, Madam Speaker, the ministry receives financial and technical support from a number of agencies. Of course, the government of St. Lucia, the European Union, the government of Taiwan, ICA, FAO, CADI, the Caribbean Development Bank, and the government of Japan. Madam Speaker, the ministry can boast of accomplishments for most of the projects that were presented in the 2008-2009 estimates, for which financial support was given. Madam Speaker, with regards to EU projects, I heard the member from Vivot North speak about cut and paste, but we'll come to that. With regards to the EU funded projects, Madam Speaker, The 1999 SFA and the 2000 SFA, Madam Speaker, we moved to reprogram these SFAs. Unfortunately, Madam Speaker, the programs that were earmarked for these SFAs could not be accomplished by June 2008. And I heard a lot about EU funding and EU funding and not receiving EU funding. I want to ask the member from Beaufort North, Madam Speaker, through you, to do some research to find out why the EU funding is not flowing during the time of the St. Lucia Labour Party. Do some research to find out why. I'm sure he's a good student, Madam Speaker, and we'll come here with the results why the EU funding was not flowing during the time of the St. Lucia Labour Party. But since we came into office, Madam Speaker, we were able to move and to receive funding for 1999, 2000 and 2001. But unfortunately, Madam Speaker, the programs that were identified for 99 and 2000 under the SFAs, we cannot accomplish this program within the time frame remaining for the implementation of these SFAs, Madam Speaker. So we have to reprogram these SFAs. And these SFAs, Madam Speaker, the monies that were allocated to these SFAs will be used in improving farm roads. And I'm sure the member for Beaufort North and Labrie will benefit from the renovation of these farm roads. Madam Speaker, SFA 2001, $6.8 million, Madam Speaker, is allocated for this program. And some of the major projects that we are going to implement before December 2008 are as follows. Strengthening of agriculture, health and quarantine. Improved land resource information system. The rural constable programs, of course, that have started in the major valleys, Madam Speaker, in Curlysack, Roseau, and Mabia Valley, that project has started. We're going to upgrade, Madam Speaker, and construct and install a number of pack houses with equipment to assist our exporters. We're going to again, Madam Speaker, improve some of the farm access roads and give assistance to agro-processors, because, Madam Speaker, I'm sure all of us would agree that the aspect of agro-processing value added is a must. We can no longer continue to talk about it. We need to do something substantial, Madam Speaker, with regards to agro-processing. But, Madam Speaker, we have one hurdle. Madam Speaker, unfortunately, Madam Speaker, the Agricultural Diversification Program Administrative Unit, which was established under the St. Lucia Labour Party, I was told, based on a recommendation coming from the EU, and Madam Speaker, this is the second. They have established two units to try and move SFA's funds. Two. Madam Speaker, unfortunately, we have to close down that unit because the EU has recommended, Madam Speaker, that they are not going to fund the management of that unit. So what we have done, Madam Speaker, as a ministry and as a government, we have agreed to strengthen our planning unit, which will enable us to implement the EU programs and other programs, Madam Speaker. And I think another area of funding which supported the ministry and government is the government of Taiwan. I heard, Madam Speaker, the leader of the opposition last night indicating that, Madam Speaker, the reason why we fell short in our capital is because we were promised $105 million by the government of China. $104 million by the government of China, Madam Speaker. Thank you for the correction. And because we break ties with the government of China, our capital estimate fell short. But, Madam Speaker, I want to ask this Honorable House that, are we so fortunate, Madam Speaker? Is the United Workers Party government so fortunate to get $104 million from the government of China in 1 year? Madam Speaker, the government that went to bed with them, drank with them, ate one ton with them, Madam Speaker, in 9 years, Madam Speaker, and I want to ask a question there. How much did they get from the government of China in 9 years? My understanding, Madam Speaker, you've only got $65 million in 9 years. In 9 years, Madam Speaker. So you mean we, in 1 year, we've got $104 million? We'll be very fortunate, Madam Speaker. We'll be very fortunate, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, since the establishment of relationships with the People Republic of China and Taiwan, we have undertaken a number of projects, Madam Speaker. A number of projects. Projects that would impact positively, Madam Speaker, on the agricultural sector. And let me give an overview of some of these projects, Madam Speaker. Union Agricultural Station. We have agreed to re-establish the Union Agricultural Station, Madam Speaker. And a number of projects have started and are ongoing. The Greenhouse Technology Project, Madam Speaker, has been completed. The rehabilitation of the Tricot Orchard, Madam Speaker, has been completed. Ongoing projects, Madam Speaker. The aquaculture facility, Madam Speaker, that is a very important project. Because, Madam Speaker, what we have found out since we came into government, Madam Speaker, is that we have 42 acres of ponds all day. Farmers who have invested in ponds. But the unfortunate thing, Madam Speaker, is that the ministry can only supply 7,000 on a monthly basis, Madam Speaker, of baby shrimps and tilapia. When the requirement, Madam Speaker, is 97,000. So you see the problem? The problem is that, Madam Speaker, the infrastructure that we have cannot supply the demand out there. So we have agreed, Madam Speaker, to establish an infrastructure that will enable us to supply the requirements out there for the persons who have invested in funds. Madam Speaker, another program that we have ongoing is the Tissue Culture Lab. That again, Madam Speaker, is a very important program because we are importing a lot of tissue culture banana plants. And we believe that we have the potential down here to be able to produce these plants. So the Tissue Culture Lab, among other things, will be producing banana plants, it will be producing cut flower plants, and a number of crops that our farmers will be able to purchase, Madam Speaker, for them to be able to cultivate. Madam Speaker, we are almost completed the securing of the union by fencing the area to make sure that we can keep away persons who have other tendencies affecting the production of crops up there. And we have agreed, Madam Speaker, to develop the new agricultural station into an eco-tourism farm. And that, I must say, Madam Speaker, we are getting the support of the Ministry of Tourism in conceptualizing that thinking. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, from local resources, Madam Speaker, we are going to establish a mushroom facility where we can demonstrate to our farmers the cultivation of mushrooms so that they can sell to the hotels. So as far as this is concerned, Madam Speaker, these are some of the programs that we have started or we have completed with the assistance of the government of Taiwan. Boseju, Madam Speaker, and speaking of Boseju, I want to make it clear, Madam Speaker, that the problems that farmers are facing in Boseju and Canners and these areas there because of the pumice is not our doing, Madam Speaker. It's not our doing. And in fact, the member from Beaufort North acknowledge, Madam Speaker, since we came into office, there have been some improvements. It's not our doing. The aspect of transferring farmers from Black Bay to the Boseju farm is not our doing, Madam Speaker. It's not our doing. In fact, we intervene when you are called upon, Madam Speaker, the farmers to give proper advice. But let's move on. We should ask to Bosseju, Madam Speaker. We believe that we should develop Bosseju as a livestock center. And what we have done, Madam Speaker, we have commenced the renovation of the pig pens, the goat and sheep pens, bring up to a standard because this thing was dilapidated, Madam Speaker. Mashed down, run down. So we have taken the approach to refurbish these pens. We have also procured, Madam Speaker, new breeding stock for pigs, sheep and goats, so we can breed at Bosseju and sell to our farmers. Madam Speaker, we also believe that it is necessary for us to improve the pastures down there, and we have started improving the pastures down there, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the meat processing facility. It was said yesterday, Madam Speaker, we're cutting and pasting. We promise that we'll build an abattoir. And we have not built the abattoir, Madam Speaker. But I want to report to this Honorable House, Madam Speaker, the SSA for 1999-2000 allocations was made and a project document was developed by the Solution Labour Party for an abattoir, Madam Speaker. And they never constructed that facility. What how so long? They made mention of the construction of an abattoir and they were not able to construct that facility. I want to say, Madam Speaker, we have changed the concept and the thinking. It's no longer an abattoir where we are going to slaughter and sell. We call it a meat processing facility, Madam Speaker. And that is why when we met with the technical team from Taiwan, we told them, look, we want to improve on the concept of the abattoir. We want to make it a meat processing facility where we can slaughter, we can do the cut, Madam Speaker, and we can do the processing. And based on this, Madam Speaker, we have to go back and redesign. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, that we have gotten the design. We have gotten the design, Madam Speaker. And now we are going through the tendering process. But, Madam Speaker, before I move on to this, a question was asked about to the Prime Minister. Is not there, I'm sure you wouldn't mind if I answer the question, Madam Speaker. The question was asked by the member for Beaufort South, the leader of the opposition last night, with regards to the meat processing facility. Madam Speaker, I must say, I want to confess in this Honorable House that whenever the leader of the opposition or the member for Beaufort South, Madam Speaker, is speaking, I listen. Whenever he's speaking, Madam Speaker, I listen, but I like to hear him speak. I like to hear him speak, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, the problem I have, Madam Speaker, sometimes I ask myself, who is speaking?
Honourable Minister, you have 10 more minutes within which to complete your presentation. Honourable Minister for Social Transformation.
Madam Speaker, I'd like to invoke the provision of 3210 to allow the Minister of Agriculture a further half hour to complete his presentation.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow the Minister of Agriculture an additional 30 minutes within which to complete his presentation. I now put the question, as many as all the opinions say aye, as many as will be contrary opinions say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Leave it done.
You see, Madam Speaker, I just said I'd like to hand talk. Madam Speaker, I was saying the problem I have when he speaks, I don't know who is speaking. I don't know if the leader of the opposition speaking, or if it's the member for Beaufort South speaking, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, there are a number of things that you have spoken about that have confused me. A number of things, Madam Speaker. A number of things have confused me. He said one thing, Madam Speaker. He said one thing, Madam Speaker. And when we investigate, Madam Speaker, it's another situation. He says today, he said this today, Madam Speaker. And when we investigate, we find a different situation, Madam Speaker. The number of examples. Direct purchase. Let's go to direct purchases. Direct purchases. And that's why I'm coming to right now. Direct purchases. Questioning us, Madam Speaker, about direct purchases. Questioning the Prime Minister about direct purchases, Madam Speaker. But when you investigate and ask him questions about direct purchases, Madam Speaker, when you investigate, Madam Speaker, the situation is worse with him, Madam Speaker. It's worse. Madam Speaker.
Point of order, Madam Speaker. A point of order. This can't be allowed. The good parliamentary representative of Babano must give figures, must give facts, must give statistics, and I'm certain that the amount of direct purchases incurred by the Ministry of Communication and Works for that entire period of that year and the number in any 1 year differ. And what is direct purchases?
Madam Speaker, if my members, if my memory recollect, Madam Speaker, in last year, 2006, the information I received, he gave 26 million, 25 million, compared to us in 13 months in office, we gave only 13 million. Madam Speaker, but I'll move on. I'll move on, Madam Speaker. That's why I'm saying that I get confused. I get confused, Madam Speaker. And if I'm having a leader of your position to stand, Madam Speaker, I'm doing good. Madam Speaker, the question of tendering, Madam Speaker, based, and he knows it. We have one of three approaches. We have direct purchase, which that's why I brought up the also aspect of direct purchase. We have a situation, Madam Speaker, where you can shortlist individuals and ask them to tender. Or you open the tendering process, Madam Speaker. He's aware of this. He said, Madam Speaker, that we allow four persons to tender. That is good. That is good, Madam Speaker. The difference is, Madam Speaker, that whenever we are getting support from the government of Taiwan, Madam Speaker, the locals are involved. That is the difference, Madam Speaker. We are not bringing on Taiwanese to do the projects for us, Madam Speaker. That is the difference. That is the difference, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the meat processing facility will be implemented. And
the Minister of Agriculture must answer the question. A question was posed to him. He is misleading the House. The question is whether four persons were invited specifically to bid for the meat processing facility. Yes or no? Simple. And don't mislead the House otherwise.
Madam Speaker, I'm moving on, but I thankfully I answered it. I answered it, Madam Speaker. I'm moving on. Madam Speaker, with regards to accomplishments again, Madam Speaker, the greenhouse project, Madam Speaker, it's nice that I have the leader of the opposition on this. And it's close, Madam Speaker. That's good. That's good. Madam Speaker, with regards to other projects that have been accomplished, the greenhouse project is a success, a resounding success, Madam Speaker. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, in this financial year, we are going to implement other programs surrounding the greenhouse project. Madam Speaker, post-Hurricane Dean, I'm not hearing this speaking about post-Hurricane Dean, Madam Speaker. Post-Hurricane Dean, Madam Speaker, was a project that we implemented to assist our farmers to recover from the devastation of Hurricane Dean, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when we conceptualized the project, we are catering for 5,000 acres. Do you know what happened, Madam Speaker? When we went out in the fields and do our investigations, Madam Speaker, we realized there were 2,600 acres more than what was recorded in the books of the various associations. Why, Madam Speaker? The reason for this, Madam Speaker, is that the number of farmers, because of the return of this government, went back and re-established the fields. That is the reason, Madam Speaker, because of the confidence they have in this government. And Madam Speaker, what we had to do was to accommodate these farmers, because we said, if they have expressed a level of confidence in us, Madam Speaker, we need to bring them in the project. Madam Speaker, initially the program was costing us about $11 million. But because of this additional 2,600 acres, it went up to $15.87 million. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, that I'm grateful to all those agencies that assisted us with regards to financial support, National Fair Trade, the government of Taiwan, with Deco Geese, Madam Speaker, of course, the government of St. Lucia, and the banner companies, Madam Speaker. The banner companies, SLDC, TQRC, and CFO, assisted in kind by providing extension officers to be able to implement that project. Madam Speaker, I want to move on. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, post-deal, we have other projects targeting vegetable farmers. The Oxfam project, Madam Speaker, was one that targets vegetable farmers. The FAO Food Security Project, Madam Speaker, and the ICA Youth Vegetable Project, Madam Speaker, all assisted farmers post-Hurricane Dean. Madam Speaker, another area of success with regards to the ministry is the Cocoa Project, Madam Speaker. The Cocoa Project, Madam Speaker, for the year under review, we were able to establish 225 acres of cocoa among 93 farmers. And Madam Speaker, we were able to increase production from 1 metric ton to 3 metric ton of wet cocoa per acre. That is an accomplishment, Madam Speaker. And we were able to reduce black pod and rodent infestation. Madam Speaker, that project would continue again this financial year. Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Agriculture, recognizing the situation with the agricultural sector and the Ministry of Agriculture, undertook a consultation, Madam Speaker, to bring all the stakeholders together to discuss the problems confronting the progress in the agricultural sector, Madam Speaker. The objective of that consultation, Madam Speaker, was to develop a new and close relationship between the Ministry of Agriculture and the related stakeholders, and to redefine, Madam Speaker, the policies and to reshape the sector. That will reshape the sector, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, subsequent to this We had a one-day consultation to look at programs, analyzing the problems and look at programs. And I want to say, I want to report, Madam Speaker, that we have a smaller team in the ministry looking at the recommendations and developing a policy for the Ministry of Agriculture. Some of the problems that we identified, Madam Speaker, were poor and fragmented ministry, weak legislation, and lack of enforcement of the legislation, Madam Speaker, destruction of youth in agriculture, lack of access to credit, Madam Speaker, is also a problem that was identified. The question of poor infrastructure, Madam Speaker, weak marketing infrastructure, Madam Speaker, to go on and on and on. But I want to report, Madam Speaker, that we are reviewing all the recommendations, and very soon we'll be presenting to Cabinet a policy with regards to the direction that the agricultural sector will be taken within the next 3 to 4 years. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, we look at the ministry, because you can't have a policy and you don't have the structure behind you to push a policy, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, with the assistance of ICA, Cabinet wrote to ICA, and ICA did assist in doing a review of the ministry. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, that the findings that have been presented to Cabinet, and Cabinet has agreed, Madam Speaker, to implement a number of the recommendations coming out of that review. Incentive, Madam Speaker, to our farmers, yes, it's true. They remove import duty and consumption tax. The Labour Party government did that, Madam Speaker. But in addition to this, Madam Speaker, we felt it was necessary for us to support our livestock farmers, Madam Speaker. And we went ahead and removed the environmental levy and service charge on all categories of livestock feed, Madam Speaker. In addition to livestock feed, Madam Speaker, since we are pushing an aquaculture program, Madam Speaker, we agreed also to remove all duties on aquaculture, fit for aquaculture, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, what we're going to do now is to go around and to do an analysis to make sure that these incentives are passed on to the farmers. Madam Speaker, speaking about incentives, from last year we agreed to move from 5% to 100% waiver of import duty and excise tax on SARs. Madam Speaker, initially when we took a decision, we said we're going to include double cab vehicles, but double cab vehicles will be specifically for egg and cut flower farmers. But Madam Speaker, based on the number of requests that we were getting from farmers in December, we decided to revisit that cabinet conclusion and to remove duties on all category of vehicles. Madam Speaker, I must say, if you have some comparison quickly, what we have realized since we have taken that decision, Madam Speaker, we have moved from 2006, the issuing of 46 vehicles, to 2007, 80 vehicles. And at January, March to January 2008, Madam Speaker, we have so far issued 63 vehicles. So farmers are responding, Madam Speaker, to that incentive, and they're showing that they're going back to the field, a level of confidence in our government, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I heard the member from Beaufort North speaking about the Financial Marketing Board and how we're cutting and pasting, Madam Speaker. But Madam Speaker, I want to go back to a budget address on April 21st, 1998. Talk about cut and paste, Madam Speaker, 1998. Page 92, presented by the then Prime Minister, Honorable Kenny Anthony. 1998, 1 year he wanted us to transform the marketing board. But since 1998, the Labour Party, Madam Speaker, had concerns about the Financial Marketing Board. And what did it do about it? Nothing. What they did, Madam Speaker, was to give dutiful incentives on import vegetables to compete with the local farmers. Right? To compete with the local farmers, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, restructuring and privatizing of the Financial Marketing Board. April 21st, 1998, page 92, paragraph 1. Mr. Speaker, this government recognized that all of its efforts at improving the infrastructure base for agricultural diversification could prove futile if adequate attention is not paid to reorganizing the agricultural marketing structure. Paragraph 2, Madam Speaker, in order for the SLMB to adequately perform this role, it needs to be strengthened. Since 1998, what was done, Madam Speaker, to change the marketing board? I can tell you what you have done so far, Madam Speaker. In one year, Madam Speaker, we have had a number of consultations with the stakeholders. And we have two options, Madam Speaker. We have two options, and we are reviewing the two options, Madam Speaker. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, we have acquired land next to the IRDC. Cabinet has approved the transfer of land next to the IRDC, Madam Speaker, in Otsa, 6.39 acres in Otsa, for the relocation of the Solution Marketing Board. Madam Speaker, that's what we have done. Because we believe, Madam Speaker, that if we are going to accomplish the type of diversification drive that we want to accomplish, Madam Speaker, we need a strong marketing infrastructure. We need a strong marketing infrastructure. So we are going ahead, Madam Speaker, and we are going to relocate the marketing board, Madam Speaker, to Otsa. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, is our intention to develop and build a farmer's mall along there, Madam Speaker. A farmer's mall. So farmers will come down there, Madam Speaker, and they would be able to do all what they want and all the services that they require in one location, Madam Speaker. That's what we are doing, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, quickly, Madam Speaker, on the way forward, I won't talk about fisheries because if I have a good fisheries, you know, she did a good job with fisheries, man. The agricultural sector, the number incentive, Madam Speaker, the number incentive and new interventions that we will be doing in the new financial year, in addition to what we have started, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, the question of the giant African snail, that's a problem for our farmers. It's a big problem for our farmers. And I'm sure the members and persons in this House, Madam Speaker, would agree that this is a big problem. We have allocated some resources, Madam Speaker, to assist farmers in the eradication or the control of the giant African snail. That's important, Madam Speaker. If we're going to push agriculture and diversification, we need to control the African snail. We're also going to assist farmers in addition to the programs, Madam Speaker, you heard about with regards to farm roads. With regards to farm roads, we have made an allocation in our budget, Madam Speaker, to assist farmers because I know, Madam Speaker, that a number of farmers will be coming to us to ask us for assistance, knowing that we are helping or we are rehabilitating a number or renovating a number of roads throughout the country. And we can't do every road, Madam Speaker. So what we have done, Madam Speaker, is to factor some allocation to assist farmers and farmers organizations and groups that want a few loads of curry rice, that want a few hours of backhoe, a few hours of grader, Madam Speaker. Nothing exorbitant, Madam Speaker. So at least it's going to give them a relief in the meantime. So that is the new initiative that we have initiated in this financial year. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, agro-processing. We have agreed, Madam Speaker, to undertake that activity in a big way. We are looking at two centers, one in Miku. Miku South, well, I wanted to specify Miku South. Sorry, I'm between the two Mikus. One in Miku South and one in the North, Madam Speaker. We're going to refurbish the buildings, put in the necessary equipment, and train individuals, Madam Speaker, to go and affect the whole aspect of value added. That is important, Madam Speaker. In addition to this, Madam Speaker, because of food security, import substitution, Madam Speaker, we have allocated $250,000 for greenhouse. What we are thinking, Madam Speaker, is to utilize that allocation to assist farmers with inputs so that they can get out there and produce. In addition, we have also allocated $3 million to assist in agricultural inputs, Madam Speaker. We are going to assist our farmers with agricultural inputs so that they can go out there, get the input on a timely basis, Madam Speaker, get it at cost, and they can go out there and produce. But putting all this into focus, Madam Speaker, we need to restructure the marketing board, and that is what we are going to do. The question of new technology, Madam Speaker, we believe we need to, the member from Miku North made mention of this, we need to educate the farmers properly with regards to the cultivation and the greenhouses, Madam Speaker. Because farmers believe so we have greenhouses, that's it. The greenhouse is a technology, Madam Speaker, and they need to know how to go out there and utilize that technology. We're also going to introduce, Madam Speaker, school children to the whole aspect of hydroponics, to encourage them and to expose them in the whole aspect of hydroponics, of course, value added, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I believe it's important to start discussion with regards to an insurance scheme. Based on my experience, Madam Speaker, last year, Hurricane Dean, I think it's necessary, Madam Speaker, for us to be able to come and discuss a proper insurance scheme for our farmers, not only for banana farmers, Madam Speaker, but for all farmers. The question of a pension scheme, we have been hearing that for a very long time. And since I became the Minister of Agriculture, farmers are calling me and asking me, Mr. Minister, what are your government doing with regards to a pension scheme? And Madam Speaker, we're going to explore the possibility of initiating a pension scheme. Madam Speaker, a new area that I've been thinking of and the Minister I've been thinking of is the question of biogas technology. Biogas technology is nothing new. We have seen the utilization of biogas technology at Southwest Farm, Madam Speaker, at the farmers holding at Bois d'Orange. But what we are looking at, Madam Speaker, is low-cost biogas technology. And we'll be working with ICA to demonstrate the whole aspect of low-cost biogas technology, Madam Speaker, to our farmers. I think it's important. I think it's important, Madam Speaker, because with the high price of fuel, if we can expose our farmers and our rural folks to other sources of fuel, it will be good. The potential is there, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, quickly, I think I should spend a few minutes on my constituency, because the last time I addressed this Honorable House, I was told that I said nothing about my constituency, and I was chastised, Madam Speaker, by members of my constituency for this. He said that you have to speak about it, what you have done and what you intend to do in this Honorable House. So, Madam Speaker, quickly. Quickly, Madam Speaker, I want to report that the year under review, we undertook a number of projects, both in the question of infrastructure, social programs, and community projects. And I want to say, Madam Speaker, some of these projects have been welcomed by members of the various communities in which they were implemented. For example, in Debawa, Madam Speaker, Debawa and Pebush, we renovated the Mothers and Fathers Hall with the understanding that these halls will be utilized by members from the community, not only the Mothers and Fathers. So they have agreed and the halls have been refurbished, Madam Speaker. With regards to Gawa and Balata, we are also refurbishing and expanding these halls. The reason why we are expanding these halls, Madam Speaker, is to accommodate daycare and preschool facilities for these communities, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have done a number of construction of drains and grills and retaining walls with the assistance of the Ministry of Communication and Works. We have improved a number of roles. Madam Speaker, only problem I have in the constituency, not in constituency, but in cabinet, Madam Speaker. All I can speak about roles for my constituency. They run me out. They run me out, Madam Speaker. Because they say I have good roles, because all the roads were taken care of. And Madam Speaker, they don't go in the nitty gritty and little communities to see that the state of these roads. The state of these roads, Madam Speaker. You know, Madam Speaker, for the year under review, I was able to resurface the IPEX Street Road in Gawa and the Monitor Barata Road. What I've also done, Madam Speaker, is to provide computers, Madam Speaker, yes, computers to the various schools in my constituency. I've also been able, Madam Speaker, to organize a very successful gospel festival. I forgot to invite members of the opposition, Madam Speaker. This should have been the gospel festival. A very successful gospel festival, Madam Speaker. And people, all churches in the constituency were involved. You know, they came out and we sang and we prayed. And we glorify God, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I've also been able to secure sponsorship for computer and photocopier for the Babono Library. And very soon, Madam Speaker, I'll be presenting that to them, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, also, Madam Speaker, we have started the construction of a computer lab at the Forest of Primary School. Madam Speaker, some of the new projects that will be implemented in the new financial year, I will continue with the assistance of my Minister for Communication and Works to improve a number of the community roads that have been neglected for a long time, Madam Speaker. With the assistance of my Minister of Health, we are going to upgrade the Babono Health Center into a grade 4 health center, Madam Speaker. And also to refurbish the Laggett Primary School. We have heard the Minister for Education alluded to that, Madam Speaker, and I'm looking forward to this. Also, Madam Speaker, it's my intention to improve the Barata and the Laggett playing field. I think we need to put lights there, Madam Speaker. We need to put seats there. We need to put toilet facilities there, Madam Speaker. At least so we can encourage persons to come out and witness and participate in the various sporting activities taking place at these various locations, Madam Speaker. In regards to water, Madam Speaker, we are going to see the improvement in the water supply at Fairway Balata, Madam Speaker. I go on with regards to sports, Madam Speaker. The intention is to construct a basketball court in Timon and Chasse. Because these two communities, Madam Speaker, have no playing facilities. Nothing where anybody can go and exercise and recreate. I think it's important that I can do this, I should do this, Madam Speaker. And also in question of Gama, Madam Speaker, the establishment of a football field. The land has already been identified, Madam Speaker, and it's for us now to acquire the property and to construct the football field. Madam Speaker, with regards to residential improvement, the government has about 20-something acres of land by the Babono Field. Government-owned land by the Babono Field, Madam Speaker. And what is on that property is an old antenna of Radio St. Lucia, not being used. I've spoken to the manager of Radio St. Lucia, and the intention is to knock down that antenna, Madam Speaker, and to convert that area into a residential area, Madam Speaker, for persons, priority persons from Babono. Persons from Babono, Madam Speaker. But in addition to this, Madam Speaker, I want to report that it's my intention to remove a plot of land for a fire station, ambulance, and police station at that location. And also, Madam Speaker, a plot of land to construct a house for the aged persons in Babono. So at least we're going to remove two plots, Madam Speaker, to accommodate that type of development. Madam Speaker, I want to say that a number of social programs within the schools, the churches, and with the youth and sports organization would be continuing. And I'm sure that I will be able to get the support of this institution to undertake a number of these programs. Madam Speaker, in the times of years and in closing, I want to say thank you to the constituency of Babanook for providing me with the opportunity to serve them. I'm doing the best I can. I'm sure, based on the feedback that I'm getting, the majority of individuals are satisfied. I want to say thank you very much to the Ministry of Agriculture, the staff in the Ministry of Agriculture, for the support that they have given me thus far. And of course, the feedback is that people are satisfied with our programs. I want to thank you very much to my cabinet colleagues when I come to cabinet for the type of support. In fact, I was happy to hear the Minister for Housing did mention that I was defeated, Madam Speaker, on a certain issue. I will not speak about it, but since you said it, the question of converting agricultural land into housing. But it's collective. I was defeated, I'll come back another day and fight again. But it's collective responsibility, Madam Speaker. It's collective responsibility, and I have a responsibility to serve. All right? I want to thank you very much to Madam Speaker, to my Prime Minister, and all my cabinet colleagues, like I said, for the support thus far. And of course, Madam Speaker, for the member of the opposition, Madam Speaker, for the support that they have given me as Minister of Agriculture. All the agencies, Madam Speaker, that I've worked with throughout the year, I'm calling them again to let's put our shoulders to the wheel, because we have bigger challenges in the agricultural sector. Bigger challenges, Madam Speaker. And of course, to the farmers. Not last, Madam Speaker, the farmers. The farmers, Madam Speaker, who have encouraged me and encouraged my government. I want to say to them again, Madam Speaker. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, thank you very much for your patience. Thank you very much for your patience.